friends, it is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly no one asked for this podcast whatsoever, but I'm having a blast. I hope you are too. Hi. Honestly, every time it's time for a new episode, I totally forget that it's time to make a new episode until maybe Friday or Thursday. But here we are. Didn't think I'd make it this far, you guys. But anyways, I want to say a quick thank you to everyone that has reached out to me saying that they liked the recent episodes so far. Really appreciate it, you guys. Much love. XOXO. And if you're new here, then you can be one of those too. I have a lot of other episodes you can listen to. We rant, we talk, we shit talk, we do the chisme, whatever you want to call it. So today's episode, you guys, this one's for the ladies, but also it's for everyone, obviously. My podcast is pretty much for everyone, but, you know, essentially more directed towards the gals, you know, the girls of the world. But honestly, without further ado, I'm just going to get into it. And if you're tuning back in, I love you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. I hope that you're doing well. I hope that you got that job. I hope you got that interview good. And honestly, everything else in between. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. And we're back, my fellow aliens. So, you read today's title. You already know. I think I'm just going to dive right in. One, because I'm hungry and I really want to get this done so I can eat and take a nap. And two, because there's a lot to cover and so little time. So let's just jump right into it. So you already know, if you've been listening to me for a while, that I really just like to reflect on my week. And for some reason this week I've been just personally thinking, not reminiscing, but more of just like kind of reflecting mainly on the flaws of marriage due to like what I've seen in my personal family, not just like more than one case. It's been multiple times for different family relatives and stuff like that. And also family relatives of relatives. So it feels like it's been something I've just been reflecting on this week. It's just my kind of thing, you know, and also just to take a look at the bigger picture, since I have been reflecting a lot, like, and asking myself the big question, like, do I really want to get married? It's a big question. It's a very heavy loaded question. And always, since there is a heavy loaded question with a heavy loaded topic, I want to add, of course, the disclaimer for the sensitive folks out there. Okay. For starters, I am aware that there's very many layers to marriage and the concept of marriage, not just among straight people. I'm not going to be able to touch on everything of that today. However, I will be like focusing on like through the Latino culture and the Peruvian culture and US marriages, like those kind of what I have seen in both of them, and like from those lenses and point of view. And that also that the topic and concept of marriage varies by culture. It's not just one culture is the same. So I will be only speaking on the two ones that I've mentioned and the only ones that I know in this time. So just want to put that out there because it's a really important disclaimer. Not really like a super petty one, just an important one that people listening should know, because it's like, if I don't state it, you may not even know where I'm talking about. You can be from a different country and you don't even know. So I'll be stating that now. And no, I'm not saying any of what I'm about to say in this episode because I'm bitter that I've seen so many failed marriages. I just think it's something that people really need to reevaluate. I don't really think that people fully understand the concept of marriage. It's just something that you always say growing up. You always hear about it. You always think it's what you want, maybe, and you were probably instilled, trained, or really truly believe that the only answer in life is marriage, when that's so not the case. There is so much more to life than marriage, and also what comes, quote, in a marriage. We'll get into that. But, and I'm not saying that to be bitter. I'm saying that I'm just really looking at the facts and like the bigger picture of like what marriage is really about, and the history behind it is not pretty. Like, I'm just gonna put that out there, and if you know, you know. And also another important disclaimer for today's episode, I want to say that as I was researching the concept of marriage and everything, a lot of the dates don't really line up. Everything I looked at had different dates and different timelines, so I will do my best and I try to find somewhat reliable sources, but even the reliable sources weren't giving me an actual date either. So I just kind of did a broad Google search with a lot of sources though. This episode is going to be very source-based, and I will be saying like, oh, according to, because truly, I don't know where these people got their information from. I'm just gonna put that out there. It's not like we're doing a paper, you guys. Like, it's just the concept of marriage to get a gist of it. I feel like it has varied for different cultures and different eras of life. So I feel like there's no set answer to why was it invented, for what, you know, and stuff like that. But or even when or why, you know, the big questions of marriage. But I want to put that out there because it's very important that people know. So the dates I give you may not actually align with maybe what you've studied, what you've heard, or what you've seen, stuff like that. It just doesn't align for some reason. I don't know why. You can ask Google that question. Don't ask me. And no, I'm not telling you how to live your life in any way. If you want to get married, go for it. You can listen to this and still not give a fuck after and be like, sure, I'm gonna still do it. I'm like, all right, cool, girl. Live your life, live your truth. And also, sorry, Catholics, don't come for me. I don't really care. Sorry. And suck my dick. That's all I can really say. Okay, let's get into it. So let's take a deep breath in. I hope that disclaimer was not a lot for you. But sit back, relax, enjoy your tea, enjoy your drive that you're on right now, whatever the case may be, wherever you are. I hope that you are safe and in a healthy environment for this topic. So anyways, let's get down to business. So what would it be without defining what marriage is? So, according to Google, marriage is the legally or formally recognized union of two people as partners in a personal relationship, in parentheses, historically, and in some jurisdictions, specifically a union between a man and a woman, in parentheses. Now, nowhere does that definition say that said marriage has to be about love. There's my loophole. Let's go with it. Okay, so anyways. So let's go back in time just a little bit. Let's go back in time as if we were, I mean, who wants to do that? Let's be honest. Because Uber Eats exists and Postmates exist. Why would I ever think about going back in time where I had to drive to a facility to get my food? No thanks. And going back to a time where women couldn't buy property, yeah, that doesn't sound like a great time. Anyone that says they want to go back, I don't trust anyone that says they're born in the wrong generation. No, sweetie. It's not cute. The generation before you was fighting a lot. Why do you want to go back in time? That's what I thought. Okay, anyways, so the question of why was marriage invented and by who? So this is where the definitions get a little different and they also vary because one definition, according to the quote, whoa, I was about to burp, whoa, quote, The Week, it's literally what it's called, the article. And they say that it was the ancient Hebrews, Greeks, and Romans. So the first recorded evidence of marriage ceremonies uniting one woman and one man dates from about 2350 BC in Mesopotamia, very, very, very ancient years ago. Over the next several hundred years, marriage evolved into a widespread institution embraced by the ancient Hebrews, Greeks, and Romans. Like I'm saying, you guys, very, very unaligned. But also, it also varies, I think, of course, by culture. I did not do the research on other cultures on why they believe they should get married. But just wanted to get the overall of who, quote, invented it, and only it told us where. So I wish I could tell you where Mesopotamia is. Wish I could tell you. Probably a Google search away, but I'm tired of looking at a screen. You can do that on your own. And if you want to look it up, I actually put all the links into everything I am citing today, and it will be linked all in the description. So if you want to check it out, read more, you can always do that. And the why, as to why marriage was invented. And according to that same article, The Week, so it's saying here on the lovely The Week article that what was it about then? Marriage's primary purpose was to bind women to men and thus guarantee that a man's children were truly his biological heirs. Through marriage, a woman became a man's property. Now, I don't want to say that's incorrect, because it's not. However, though, that does sound a little, like, for some reason when I first read that definition as to why marriage was invented, I did agree with it, but also it felt like the tone of it, I could just read through the screen that it was definitely written by like a woman, I don't know, or written by someone that's really a man hater. That's how I felt. I don't know if you listening to this, when I read it, you heard it, as of like the person that wrote it for the Week article was like, yeah, that sounds kind of man-hating. I agree. It had that connotation. I don't know why, and I definitely don't want to shake that. However, not only was marriage made for property, it was made for other reasons, not just like property. So why did some people get married? Similarly, as to like why it was invented and why did some people get married for those, like for other reasons that weren't property related or love related, especially. So according to the article, brides, it's a blog for, I assume, brides, you know. So how long has marriage existed for? So according to the blog, brides, marriage comes from Middle English, which was first seen in 1250 through 1300 CE, like I said, unaligning dates. Wish I could tell you that this made more sense, but I'm pretty sure there was a lot of sources that were saying it was before Christ, so anything BC, I'm gonna take the word for it, so I'm a little bit judgy on that timeline. However, the ancient institution likely predates to this date. Yeah, the main goal of marriage earlier on was to act as an alliance between families. Throughout history and even today, families arranged marriages for couples. Most couples didn't marry because they were in love, but for economic liaison. Oh my god. Liaison. It's a French word, you guys. Liaison, something like that. That's the word. The people involved didn't have much to say about the decision then, and often don't today either. Ooh, love that last line. Anyway, so basically, not only was marriage for property, for men to establish their property, aka treating women like property, but it was also a form of, because technically, by definition, which we already went through, that Google stated, it's a union, a partnership. Doesn't necessarily have to be a loving partnership, which even though now, present day, it technically is viewed that way. However, it's always been viewed, and to this fucking present day, people still get married for the greater good of someone else involved. You know what I mean? Like, it's not something that's such a foreign concept for you to marry for money, for someone to marry for economic partnership, alliance, status, and for property, inheritance, if you will. All of those things still play in. It's not all rainbows and butterflies, you guys. So just want to put that out there as well. I'm not hating on marriage. I'm just stating the facts, you guys. I'm looking right at it, you know, according to my little Google Docs and the little links I will put in the description below. So the concept goes even further, right? You want to ask, when did marriage become a sacrament? Because I went to Catholic high school, so I knew about marriage being a sacrament very long ago. And my parents were raised Christian. However, they're not like diehard Christians, let alone they both don't even believe in the Catholic Church. And I agree. All my homies hate the Catholic Church. No, I'm kidding, you guys. Sorry. I know that a lot of Catholics listening to this, you're like, they're going to come for my neck. I'm sorry. I just, leave me be. But I actually was genuinely curious, because I've always heard that Catholicism really embraces all the seven sacraments, and also especially one of them being extremely heavily focused on the sacrament of marriage. So I was like, huh, since I studied this and I really want to know when it became a sacrament, because it's got to have, it's like the Catholic Church hasn't existed for that. I mean, it has, but it wasn't like marriage was performed and created way before Christ, before the Catholic Church even was a thing, you guys. So let's talk about it. Let's think about it. So when did marriage become a sacrament? So according to the BBC, of all places, The sacrament of marriage, it wasn't until the Council of Trent in 1563 that marriage was officially deemed one of the seven sacraments of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. So if we're talking like a rough estimate, the 1500s was when the sacrament of marriage became official in the Catholic Church. And I was actually kind of shocked. I was like, huh, not recently at all, but it was definitely not in the BC or CE eras. So I was a little shocked. I was like, huh, I would expect it to be something like 2 CE. I don't know, but whatever. I was just curious. And so we get into the marriage in the US timeline. And it's a rough estimate, you guys. I've seen different dates. I've seen different years lining up with different things that happened. So now that I have your attention, you guys. I didn't split my screen the way I should have. Okay, this is a problem. This is a problem, my friends. Hold on. Technical difficulty. Okay. Technical difficulty. Okay. I think I figured it out. I think we're good. So here's the marriage timeline of the US, roughly speaking. So here goes nothing. Oh my gosh. Here goes nothing. Okay. So I'm going to be jumping a couple years in between the other years I'm mentioning. So I'm going to start with the 1700s for this. So according to the Socialist Journal Against the Current, written by organizer and activist Jill Schenker. That's her last name. Jill Schenker. She wrote about the timeline of marriage and she goes into heavy detail, but we're just going to go through a couple of years, just jump back and forth and go around it. So I'm going to start with the year 1769. So I'm going to quote, American colonies based their laws on the English common law, which said, end quote, by marriage, the husband and wife are one person in the law. The very being and legal existence of the woman is suspended during the marriage, or at least is incorporated into that of her husband, under whose wing and protection she performs everything. Oh, I also forgot to mention, I'm going to just read exactly what this article and journal says of like the years of marriage that happened. However, I'm going to go slow so that you can take it in for a minute first and then you can come back to it. We'll get back to it at the very end of the years I chose. I go up until like 2000s. So I'm going to read it. Take a minute to take it in, go back if you want, whatever you got to do. I'm just not going to reflect on every single one of them because it's just too much and also take way too much time. This would make this podcast like 2 hours long. So I'm just going to read it, take a moment to reflect. I'm going to move on to the next year. If you want to go back, you can always just fast forward, go backwards, whatever your heart desires today. But I'm just going to go through it and hopefully that works. If not, we're good. So if not, I'm sorry. So we're going from 1769 to 1787, and I just want to state that the U.S. Constitution was signed during this year. So now we're jumping to 1839. So 1839, the first state, in quote, Mississippi, grants women the right to hold property in their own name with their husband's permission. By 1900, all states had legislation granting women some control over their property and earnings. Now, I'm just gonna add, just to state, I wanted to add this in there really bad because it just proves that when you're married and during this time in the 1800s, you had to ask your husband for permission. So, kind of sucks, but I'll let you reflect for a little bit. Okay, now we're going to 1855. In Missouri versus Celia, a slave and black woman is declared to be property without a right to defend herself against a master's trigger warning act of rape. I'll let you reflect on that for a minute. Okay, 1875, and I know I'm not going that. I know I'm going kind of fast to reflect, and there's a fly next to me. Great. Anyways, Now we're jumping to 1875. So 1875, Page Law ends the arrival of Chinese women immigrants based on the fear that Asian immigrants would either begin to form families in the United States or that, quote, those who didn't have the protection of a man might become a prostitute. Crazy that those don't correlate with one another whatsoever, but I'll let you reflect on that for a minute. All right. Now we're jumping way past. I'm talking like 1918. All right. So in 1918, New York versus Sanger allows doctors to advise their married patients about birth control for health purposes. It wasn't until 1965 that all state laws prohibiting the prescription or use of contraceptives by married couples were overturned. I'll let you simmer on that for a minute. All right, now we're going to 1948. In Perez versus Sharp, California Supreme Court becomes first state high court to declare a ban on interracial marriage unconstitutional. In 1967, the United States Supreme Court in Loving versus Virginia overturns all state bans on interracial marriages, declaring that the, quote, freedom to marry belongs to all Americans. I'll let you simmer on that. Now, 1965. Immigration Act eliminates race, creed, and nationality quotas as basis for admission to the United States. The act stressed family reunification and awarded 3/4 of immigration slots to relatives. Quote, family is based on strictly heterosexual and nuclear ties. Law explicitly bans lesbians and gays as, quote, sexual deviants. I'll let you simmer on that too, because I cannot tell you how fucking mad I was when I read that shit. Okay. Just gonna let you simmer on that. Okay. Now we're jumping to 1969, not that far ahead. 1969. California adopts the nation's first, quote, no-fault divorce law, allowing divorce by mutual consent. I'll let you simmer on that there. California, really proud of you for that one, kind of. Okay. And we're going faster. 1981, you guys. We're almost there. Kirchberg versus Feenstra. Oh, 1981, sorry. 1981. Kirchberg versus Feenstra overturns state laws designating a husband, quote, head and master, with unilateral control of property owned jointly with his wife. Period. Okay. Now we're going. We're moving to 2000s now. So really fast forwarding. Ooh, really fast forwarding to the 2000s. So as of March 2000, Oklahoma governor announces a $10 million plan to encourage marriage and reduce divorce. Other states continue to follow this example, and in 2004, Congress will vote on whether or not to include, quote, marriage promotion programs in welfare reform nationally. Sorry, you guys. Don't really know where that came from, but I'll let you simmer on that for a minute. And lastly, but certainly not least, you guys, I already linked everything I'm quoting from below in my description. So if you really want to read every single thing that happened in the marriage timeline, it will be linked in the links in the description. So 2001 is my final year that I chose for giving the research purposes of this. So it's a really long one. And it's about the gay and lesbian couples. So I'm going to read it. I'm going to go relatively slow. And if you want to go back, read it, or even Google more information about it, you are more than welcome to. I think also a really good website to look at cases is Oyaz, Oyaz, because a lot of these are cases that happened so many years ago, or not really, not that long ago, truly. But if you want to look into it, you're more than welcome to. And also, since I am linking everything down below, all the cases are listed in these sources, especially the one I'm using from. You can just Google it and separate on its own. So I'm going to just go read 2001. It's a long one, so brace yourself. So lastly, but certainly not least, the year 2001. 2001. Gay and lesbian couples from Massachusetts file state court lawsuit seeking the right to marry. On November 18th, 2003, in Goodrich versus Department of Public Health, the Massachusetts Supreme Court holds that barring an individual from the protections, benefits, and obligations of civil marriage solely because that person would marry a person of the same sex violates the Massachusetts Constitution. Marriage licenses first issued to same-sex couples in Massachusetts on May 17th, 2004. And in the same year... Oh, wow. No, I totally read that wrong, you guys. I thought it was longer, because, like, it's not bolded on my end on the website, so, like, 2001 looks like it's a giant, long one. So that was it. Sorry. Sorry for the brace. But let's take a minute. You know, you can go back, and the link is also down there, so if you want to read it on your own, pause this, read it, come back. I get it. No worries. And if you clocked out mentally, I get it too. Just take your time with it. It's a lot of info. But that's why I kind of went slow and also kind of just like lowered the voice, because I was like, yeah, it's a lot to take in. But also, in summary, fuck the US. Am I right? Am I right, guys? Am I right? Anyways, now that we're here, now that we're on the topic of 2001, just 2001, which was not just 10 years ago. It feels like it's been way over that. It's been definitely, it feels like it's been way over that. A lot happened in 2001. And so, now that we have an idea where marriage comes from, let's reflect. Let's sit down and reflect together on the history of marriage. And so, 2022, marriage. Where are we now? So many ways to describe this answer. Gay marriage became legal on June 26, 2015. And I cannot tell you guys, I remember that day as if it was yesterday. I truly do. I remember I was sitting on my couch. I think I just got back from class. I was definitely in high school still. And I was, yeah, I graduated in 2017 from high school and I got in 2014. I was accepted August 2014 through May 2017. I remember. Yeah, that was my timeline for high school, those 4 years. And during 2015, I was definitely in high school. I remember that day I was on my couch. And I don't know if it was a weekend or if it was a weekday, but I knew I was at home sitting on my couch. It was actually kind of early in the morning. I think it was like maybe 9 or something. And I remember I went on Twitter and I saw that it was all over Twitter. Like, Twitter was going crazy. Like, I remember as if it was yesterday. I really do. And the way, you guys, I cried. Oh my God. I cried for hours. Oh my God. I was so happy that day. And then I called one of my friends, Eric, and I was like, dude, did you hear? Like, the gays are actually allowed to marry. And we were going back and forth because he's a gay man. And I was like, yo, if you can get married, now you can. Let's go. It was, I remember that day as if it was yesterday. I really do. It was such a beautiful day. I was sobbing. Like, it was such a great day. And then that's why I'm very happy to announce that my birthday is in June. Pride month. I'm very happy that I share the month with the gays and the theys. I'm very, very happy. I wouldn't want it any other way, truly. So, honestly, I just wanted to include that there to, like, after reading and stating all the negatives and what happened amongst the marriage history timeline, I wanted to include the day that gay marriage became legal in the US. Such a beautiful day, truly. It was a great day. Just wanted to include that there because it's very important. It's a monumental moment for so many people and so many of the LGBTQ plus community. So definitely had to include that there. However, though, you guys, 2022 marriage definitions now. We've already established that a lot of people have redefined the definition present day and also like late 2010s and everything like that as to having marriage be about love and matrimony in harmony. Right. And so I've noticed, at least between the two different cultures I mentioned earlier, that among Peruvian and just Latino household culture, the point of marriage, if you're, especially if you're super religious, like a Catholic, Catholic Latino, so many of them, they do it for the sake of the sacrament, right? But it's also, it comes with so many expectations, the gender roles, the stereotypes, the everything in between. And I feel like I've noticed a shift in American matrimony and marriage that, since especially present day, I'm talking like present day, American men cook, yo, they cook for themselves, they know how to make a dinner, you know, like they know how to cook for the sake of knowing how to cook and feed themselves. To this day, Latinos still associate with women cooking and cleaning as a form of their job and viewing them as servants. Now, I'm gonna get into that a little bit. I just wanted to touch on that because I didn't actually have a section dedicated to it in my notes, but really needed to dedicate it to it because honestly, I cannot tell you how much I don't feel the need. Because like I was mainly raised by women, so I never had to cook for the sake of cooking for a man. Never had I had that. No one, like not even my mom, no one in my own family, not even my tías, yo. They never once in my entire 22 years of life ever said, aprende a cocinar para tu marido, porque si no, nothing like that. And I am eternally grateful for that. Every day I find more reasons to be grateful for that. And every day I find more reasons to never in my life, yo, cook for a man of any kind. I cannot tell you how much I don't believe in that shit. And I know that if you're a standard, stereotypical Latino man listening to this, you can suck my fucking dick and choke on it. I don't care. I am not cooking for a man for the sake of me cooking for a man because it's, quote, my job. There's a difference between viewing, quote, cooking and cleaning as necessities for life and necessities to survive in a household of any kind, whether you live on your own, whether you live with friends, whether you live with other roommates, whether you live with family even. I cleaned all of my upstairs, like, I cleaned my room today, I cleaned my bathroom, I cleaned, like, the floor upstairs, I cleaned the stairs, you know, like, I cleaned so much today. I always do that every time, every end of the week, or, quote, starting of the week, I always do it on Sundays, but present day, I've been doing it more and more, like, consistently, because the dust builds up. I'm so angry, I can go into that, but I'm not going to, but anyways, my point still stays the same. I learned how to cook and clean for the sake of me feeding myself. My mom's not going to be there the rest of my life. Knock on wood, obviously. But my point is that I can't have someone feed me my whole life. I don't know. The whole point of learning how to cook is to quite literally fend for yourself. Animals have birth. No, animals birth, you know, they come out the womb and they know how to cook, clean, reproduce. Yeah, that's not us. Our version of doing that, coming out the womb, is doing that maybe at around 13, 12. Like, that's when you learn how to cook things. That's when you learn how to feed yourself. Dude, when I moved back to California, you guys, when I moved back to California, I had no car because I was 13, earliest 12 years old, okay? My dad was always at work, and it was just me and him at first, and then my sister came. No, it was my sister. But I think she was doing something else. I think she had another job. I don't remember. It was a very big blur. Regardless, some days on the weekends, I would be home alone every weekend. Is that very, for legal reasons? I'm kidding. Because I know a lot of people are like, why were you alone at like 12? I was like, I wish I could tell you. But regardless, I don't know what the age for being a home alone is. But regardless, I also had my neighbor across the street. She would always watch me and take care of me if I needed anything. She was super sweet. But regardless, I had to feed myself. I really did. Like, I fed myself. I learned how to cook the basic I made a mean macaroni and cheese from Kraft at 13 years old. That was my dinner every night, yo. My dad didn't cook. Shit, my sister didn't either. I had to feed myself something. And then there was food around me, and I didn't have a car, so I would just, like, walk to the shopping centers. I would walk myself to In-N-Out. I would walk myself to, like, a Ralph's or something. Like, I at least was fortunate enough to have, at least have food near me, or I would go to Whole Foods. Like, I would do something to feed myself. Regardless, though, I still learned how to do laundry myself. I learned how to feed myself. I learned how to do all those things at the fucking age of 13, yo. You cannot say shit to me. You mean to tell me that I need to, like, learn how to cook and clean for the sake of a man? Because if I don't, he'll leave me? No, I had to learn that shit on myself, by myself, on my own, to fend for myself. My dad didn't cook shit. And you see the importance of learning how to cook, you guys? As a man? My mom was still in Florida, packing up a house, you guys. She was on her way to come move with us. I had to learn how to feed myself and fend for myself. My dad didn't do fucking jack shit but sit on the couch, burp, and that was it. All he did was sit on that. He went to work, disassociated from me. He went his ass on that couch, disassociated me, pretended it didn't exist, let's be honest. And he sat on that couch, did not make a damn thing for himself. You guys, it's embarrassing. It really is. And I'm not saying that, like, I don't want to hear no man saying, I wasn't raised to cook. I'm like, okay, you can't learn now? You can't just Google how to cook now? I think it's embarrassing. You should feel it. Like, if you are a man, you don't know how to cook right now, and you're listening to this, you should feel shame. You should feel so much shame. I want you to go into the corner right now. As if you're a man listening to this and you don't know how to cook for the sake of, oh, I wasn't raised that way. Oh, it's a woman's shop. I want you to go in there. Go into a corner of your room, corner of wherever room you are right now. Sit there and really be in timeout for as long as I say so. Because how are you going to be a person, not just a man, just a person, whatever your living situation is, if you're single or not, whatever that is. Why are you a grown man that can't cook? You mean to tell me you can't even work a grill? Now that's embarrassing man behavior. Why are you a man you can't work a grill? Have some shame in that. At least the men that don't know how to, quote, cook, they at least can make a mean food on the grill. Like, that's cooking. That's something. It's like, oh, you're giving me protein? I can make rice. Shit, let's do it. That's something. Yo, that's something. But if you can't even do that, go and time out. Have some shame in yourself. No, not even some. All the shame. I'm putting the shame on you. Cry about it. Like, I'm so serious. Like, have some shame in yourself. So, now that we're on the topic of, cultures. Anyways, I can go into it a lot more detail, but mejor me quedo callada just for that. But regardless, my other topic of discussion as to why marriage is a fucking joke. Sorry, I got a little heated there. I'm getting my period in like less than 24 hours, so I'm a little aggressive. Classic women behavior, just using that as an excuse. Love that, honestly. But regardless, you guys, let's get into it. So there's more to this. So if you haven't heard, I feel like no one has heard this. I feel like I was taught this because my mom used to be a realtor back in Florida. So she taught me the legal terms of real estate and stuff like that really early on. So I know the bullshit and what's not bullshit when it comes to marriages and real estate, because that's also a topic of conversation that people need to really establish and never do. So here I am to enlighten you. So if you haven't heard, because I'm not sure if it's a very common thing, I don't really hear a lot of people talking about it. But community property. So I'm going to give you a gist of what community property in real estate, and also just not even real estate. I'm talking like you were married to someone in one of these 9 states. You might be fucked. Just saying. So according to Investopedia, which gives the definition of roughly what community property is in legal terms. So what is community property? Community property refers to a U.S. state level legal distinction that designates a married individual's assets, any income, and any real or personal property acquired by either spouse during a marriage are considered community property and thus belong to both partners of the marriage. Under community property, spouses own and, quote, owe everything equally, regardless of who earns or spends the income. Community property is also known as marital property. Oh, I can't believe this actually really exists, but okay. So anyways, Now we get into not just community property, like examples of what either community property and or separate property, because people get confused, and low-key I was too when I was researching these, but now I kind of get the gist of it. So community property versus separate property. What is yours and what is ours, essentially? That's the question. So according to FIND law, examples of community property may include 1, wages earned by either spouse during the marriage, 2, home and furniture purchased during the marriage with marital earnings and reward, 3, interest income earned by business investments and operations, 4, mortgages and the family home. And then separate property, on the other hand, is what which, oh, is that which was owned prior to the marriage, inherited or received as a gift during the marriage, and anything either spouse earned after the date of separation. Examples of separate property may include bank accounts which are held separately, inheritances acquired during a marriage if held separately, gifts to either spouse, personal injury proceeds, and lastly, any property required after the dissolution of a marriage. Ooh, and also I did link that below if you want to go look into that, and you're probably like, holy shit, I didn't know this. Now you know. And you are going to catch me not getting married in any one of these states, and I'm going to tell you which states they are so you don't get married in them. So, what states have community property? Apparently there's only 9. God, I hope there's no more. If Florida becomes one of them, I'm just going to die. So, community property states include 1, Arizona, 2, California, 3, Idaho, 4, Louisiana, 5, Nevada, 6, New Mexico, 7, Texas, 8, Washington, and lastly, but not least, Wisconsin. Now, you guys. When my mother told me about community property, I was outraged. Okay. I know you're listening to this, maybe be like, why is it a big deal? Here's the thing. Let's say you got married in California, right? Let's say you and your spouse got married in California. You guys buy a house, you guys buy another house, you buy, let's say, 2 houses, and you guys both have mortgages, right? So essentially, let's say 1-3 years later, you decide to divorce, legally, officially divorce, not separate, legally divorce. All of that, I'm trying to understand the definition still myself, but also like I understand it, but I don't at the same time, but I do. So same example, sorry, we're going to start over. Let's say you get married in the state of California, right? You and your spouse got married in the state of California. You guys get a house, you guys get 2 more houses, and you both have mortgages, like I said. Let's say you guys, and 1-3 years later, you guys decide to get divorced for whatever reason, you know? Let's say they fucked you over in the divorce. Or no, let's say they fucked you over in the relationship. They cheated on you, they stole money from you, whatever. Worst case scenario of what your partner can possibly do. Think of that in this situation. The worst thing that could ever happen to someone in a marriage. Think of that in this equation. Imagine you're going to your lawyer to settle shit, right? Between your ex-husband or ex-partner or whatever. You have to split everything in half. He still gets some shit that he doesn't deserve, or whatever the case may be. That partner that fucked you over gets half of what you fucking earned. Half of that money you earned. Does that seem fucking fair? No. No, it doesn't. Imagine you work your ass off in your job. You make a great job. You have health benefits. You have everything included. Everything is a dream. And then your partner fucks you over by the worst case scenario possible. You guys go for a divorce and you got to split shit 50-50. I don't think so. My neighbor across the street that she, the neighbor I mentioned briefly a second ago, that she took care of me when I was living alone, basically, when my dad was always at work, my mom was still in Florida, and my sister was, I don't know where. I think she was actually still in school by the time I moved back to California. Whatever the case may be. Right across the street, she's no longer living in this neighborhood that I'm in, but her husband did some fucked up shit, yo. And what happened? She lost so much money in the divorce. So much money in the divorce, just because she wanted to get it over with. Because divorces aren't fun, you guys. Divorces are actually fucking horrendous. Whether it's because it's a mutual agreement, or whether it's like out of hatred, whether one partner did someone else wrong. It doesn't matter what led up to the divorce. It doesn't matter if you despise your ex-partner. Divorces are never easy. Divorces are sad and they're heartbreaking. Even if you hate the person that did this, or whoever your partner was and they did you wrong, or you did them wrong. Yeah, you're never gonna ever be with them again. You don't even want to hear from them ever again, let alone even think about them again. But you still have to go through the painful reenactments and remembering and the actual pain behind the memories of why you chose to get divorced. Why on God's green earth do you find marriage that appealing? Because let's finally get down to the question of, what were you saying about marriage being hype? All hype. There's so many things wrong with marriage. Just the history within itself. You mean to tell me that marriage was mainly only seen as, one, an economic status reason, two, for power, essentially, for money, for anything else? And then the last thing on that list was like, oh, because we love each other. Nah. You mean to tell me that people want to get married because they love each other? Great. I'm not saying that that's not a real thing. But what I am saying, though, why is marriage all hype? Because of its history, yo. People may have turned around the definition for the sake of love and the sacrament of marriage. But really, you look back in history, marriage was nothing but more of a transaction and you call it a day. That was it. That's all it was. And to this day, it still exists. That's why a marriage is not really that crazy. It's all hype. And then when you don't want to be with someone after a while, let's say you fall out of love, they hurt you, they do you wrong, or you do them wrong, whatever the case may be. No partner's a saint, obviously, but some people really mess you up. You mean to tell me you have to go through a divorce by law? And what happens if they don't want to? What happens if they want to control you? What happens if they want to keep you in the marriage trapped? Because that's also a real thing. They financially trap you. They emotionally trap you. They mentally trap you. And then you also have to go through the divorce and reliving all of that just for the sake of breaking up a marriage when you could have just simply dated them for as long as you wanted to. Let's say you were together 20 years. You guys one day decide to dip. You just leave, take your shit, and you dip. It's just not easy. Marriage is just something that has too much of an ugly history towards, and honestly, history, like, marriage only benefited you if you were straight and white. That was it. It was only until very recently, that the LGBTQ+ community had actually, quote, a chance. And yes, gay marriage was a thing. It now is, officially. But do you know how long that took? 2015? That was 6 years ago, you guys. 6 years ago. Latest seven. That was quite early. Or like not that long ago. That was very recent. I'm talking like I was alive for that day. Yo, when I hear history dates from like 1999, I was like, oh, I was there. But was I really? I was born 1999. I wasn't there. But for events like these, I was there. I was present. I had a work, like a functioning brain. I was in high school. I can compute that. I can take that information in and be like, this is important. This is relevant. This is essential. This is crucial. This is a monumental day. But in other cases, like the ones I mentioned, like in 1979, like whatever you want to call it, I wasn't alive for those days. I was not. I had no idea what that shit could have felt like back then. And especially, you mean to tell me that marriage was all about possession? That was all it was about. Hell, it still kind of is in some places. And look, I'm not saying that marriage is not about love and passion. Of course it is. But it still has an ugly history of getting there. It took centuries for marriage to be viewed as something with positive and love and alliance between two people. And it also took almost a lifetime for people to view marriage as worthy of everyone and everything. Not just a woman, a man, whatever. That's my problem with it. And you're probably like, oh, well, like, that was history. That was a while ago. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And not only that, it's all about marriage to me feels like control. Because what really, no, really think about this. I really want anyone that's ever only thought about marriage for the sake of thinking about it, not actually thought about the actual behind the scenes of marriage. Everyone says, yeah, marriage is hard, marriage life is hard, but a happy life, happy wife, you know? No. And also, what was that joke amongst, like, straight men that, like, they were like, oh, you know my wife, she's crazy, you know? As long as I don't have to see my wife, you know? Like, what is that joke, bro? You mean to tell me that you got married, had a wife, and you're all like, huh, just don't tell my wife, you know? Or, they're like, you know? I don't want to hear nothing about my wife, you know? Like, those types of remarks, it's like, oh, I hate my wife. Oh. I'm like, then why'd you marry her? I don't know what the deal is with men finding that, like, middle-aged men especially, finding that commentary really funny. It's not. You're not funny. You're kind of boring, actually. If you, quote, hate her so much as, quote, a joke, then why are you with her? Why'd you marry her? And here comes the, like, oh, it's just a joke. No. If I was married to someone and they kept saying, behind my back, especially, like, oh, yeah, my wife, she's hell, you know, but happy wife, happy life, I would simply leave him. I'd be like, oh, word? Okay, cool. I'm out. Cool. But here's the thing. Marriage has always seemed to be about possession and control, whether you want to admit it or not. I know that the people that are listening to this that are diehard marriage fans, I'm sorry. It's still rooted in possession and control. Marriage may not be the right fit for you, and that's okay. It's not the end of the world. Because here's the thing. Like I mentioned earlier, marriage is flawed in a lot of ways. There is no such thing as the perfect marriage. However, does marriage exist with the pure intention of being in love with someone and you show it by getting married? Of course. But is marriage still about possession and control? Absolutely. That hasn't changed at all. Whatsoever. So what happens if, let's take an example, right? Let's take the example of you getting married. You get married, you fall in love with someone, you love them till the end, you cook, clean, whatever the hell it is, you are there for them 24/7, they do the same for you, and eventually in 3 years, you guys are falling out of love, and that's something that happens and normal. And then you guys go file for divorce, and then you see the financial behind the scenes, like, oh, what was he spending money on this whole time? Oh, you mean to tell me that he was hiding this from me? Ugly secrets can come out, whether you discover them in the marriage or after. It comes out. Secrets always come out in marriages. Always. Which also tends to lead to divorce. If you don't like what you see, you know? So let's say you do get married, and let's say your partner starts showing negative signs. They start mistreating you. They start harming you. They start physically, content warning, like, you know, abusing you. Whatever the case may be, emotional, physical, mental, any type of abuse in a family or in a marriage, and then all of a sudden you want to file for divorce? Yeah, it's going to hurt to relive that again if you're the victim of a domestic violence partner. That's going to hurt to live through. Marriages are not all butterflies and rainbows, like, whatsoever. You mean to tell me that if you live through hell and back with an ex partner and you go through that divorce, you still have to relive that all and see the secrets in their finances, if they have any, you know, just the ugly behind the scenes, right? I'm not here to tell you what to do, all right? And also, now that I'm mentioning this, and I will conclude with this, I really need some of you that are diehard marriage fans. I really want you to, like, really think about my episode today if you really did listen to this in full length. And I also respect you for listening to that, because I know it's not easy to always listen to a contrary opinion that isn't yours. I would know. But really think, really reflect on marriage. Don't just say, I want marriage because I grew up with marriage. No. Marriage takes a lot of dedication. You're with one person the rest of your life. You are legally, quote, legally binded to one another. Legally. You have to get a marriage license, bro. A marriage license. Then you got to do the whole marriage part. Then comes the aftermath. Kids, a house, whatever it is. There's a lot of layers to it. So really, I really want, especially the women to listen to me that are crazy marriage obsessed. Listen, like, listen up, Joan Clayton, all right? Listen, if you know, you know. Joan Clayton is actually a Girlfriends character from the show Girlfriends. She was obsessed with getting married, for real. But my point, I want the ladies to really listen to me on this, really bad. Here's what I will say. Just because you have a ring, and this also goes for just anyone legally binded and they also have engagement rings or whatever. Just because you have a ring and are married does not mean you're better than someone, let alone someone that isn't married but has a spouse. Just want to make that clear. Because in reality, how I see it is that, oh, you have a nice flashy ring on your hand. That's cute. But you know, just because you have a flashy ring on your hand doesn't mean that your partner still can't hurt you, still can't fuck you over, still can't ruin your life. If anything, I've seen more married couples commit adultery. Or no, what's the word? Like cheating. That word. Whatever the word is. I don't know what the church word is for that. But just because you have a ring on your finger doesn't mean you're any less likely to not have your partner cheat on you, hurt you in any way, and ruin your life. That does not mean anything. Just because you have a flashy ring does not mean anything, really. It means you're married. Yeah, that's what it means. To the world, it shows that you're married. But behind the doors, behind the scenes, what does it look like? I really hope it's something happy, healthy, and whole. But if it's not, why are you flexing that ring, babe? Be honest with yourself. Do you hear yourself? Just because you have a fat, juicy, gorgeous ring on your left hand, on your ring finger, does not mean that your life is any better or any greater than someone that isn't and doesn't have a ring on their finger either. Let's stop making people feel bad for that. Let's stop making people feel bad for not being, quote, married, having the engagement ring, having the wedding ring, being the wife, being the partner, whatever. And let's shift away from that and actually focus on not just the beauty and the materialistic parts of marriage, but the actual aftermath, like being in love with someone for that long, loving them and quote, to the end, and also until death do you part. Yes, it's a hard topic. It's a heavy one. And I'm just going to tell you now, I don't believe in it. Would I like to get married? I'm not opposed to it either. I just don't want to have somebody... I don't want to have to like go ask someone if I want to break up with them and be like, hey, I'm sorry, I think we should get a divorce. You have to go to the court for that? No. Why can't I just dip and be like, okay, bye, let's dip. And I would like to get married in the state of Florida and only Miami so I can avoid the whole community property shit, so all the money I make is mine and I dip. Yeah, I would consider that. Any other state except for the 9 I listed today. So without further ado, guys, I am out. I am hungry and I want noodles, so... Hope you enjoyed this episode. I didn't think it was going to be this long, actually. But my point still rests its case. Love you all. And I hope that you're all being safe and sound this year since the pandemic is still going on. Please take whatever precaution you feel is necessary, whatever you feel is safe. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And I love you all. Please take care. Bye.